Welcome to Service Evolution, America's premier destination for service industry leaders. We deliver the advice and insight you need to get ahead in your career, learn new skills, and succeed in the competitive world of service. Our podcast features experts from across the country who provide their valuable insight on topics such as branding, strategy building, and customer service. Whether you're just starting out or looking for ways to take your company to the next level, join us and discover how to make a positive impact today. What's up, guys? It's Sean Black at Service Evolution. Another freaking amazing show with my friend Jim Robinson. What's up, buddy?
It's time to go to work. Let's deliver. Let's go. People count on it.
I feel like we haven't done one for a little bit. I kind of miss doing this.
Jesus, it's been years, I think. Maybe a week or two, I guess.
It feels like a week or two. Not far. We've been extremely busy. We've been going out. We've on the show circuit. There's all kinds of amazing things happening with development of the company. And so I thought this would be a really cool time to talk about a subject that I think it's important for the understanding of working with people. And the service industry and beyond. And that really is the interplay of social and emotional intelligence in our industry and how that works.
And emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Some buzzwords.
Hopefully these folks are not about to get bored out of their mind that we dig too deep. Let's keep this playful and lighthearted, and maybe they'll hang out and listen to what we got to say today.
Well, I had some time to reflect on this. You know, we have some new team members, and it's really interesting getting to know yourself when you're leading other people, and then really seeing them grow and develop, and then seeing how all the entire team interacts. And I was like, man, I want to talk to Jim about this subject. As a way of kind of getting started, if you can maybe give us your overview of how you feel. You know, the definition would be for emotional intelligence, for example.
Emotional intelligence, how you look at it. Simple. Here's how I describe it. Emotional intelligence is really self-awareness. That's really what it is. Because if you're self-aware, you know how you're going to interpret somebody else's conversation, their verbal, nonverbal. That's really what it is. It's super simple. Don't make it overcomplicated. Just simplify it. Don't add a whole bunch of content to it. Just keep it simple. It's really about self-awareness.
I love that. So in the context of the service industry, from a CEO, from a leader perspective, how do you feel like that emotional intelligence kind of rolls out?
Well, there's different things. One is self-aware. I got to know where I'm coming from, and I got to know why I'm understanding what I'm understanding. The component of that is being able to kind of relate to ideas, maybe somebody's emotions or feelings that are involved in a conversation, the way they're communicating. And some of this is related to, it could be expressed, meaning they're vocalizing it, or it could be as simple as just their body language or their presence. You know, we sit on these Zoom calls all the time, and I can see who's not completely present. And sometimes we have to have a conversation around present, not present, because that's also an interaction later. Mm-hmm. So I think all of that in a service industry is really important that we need to understand that. The ideas coming in, the emotions or feelings that they have, and that could be expressed or not expressed, so verbal or nonverbal.
Yeah, I think that's important. All of us kind of have to really work on our self-awareness in general. If we don't know ourselves, we certainly won't be able to understand how we're impacting others around us. Yeah. And like you said, if we're not super self-aware, even on those Zoom meetings, if we're starting to check out, we need to be aware of how that's going to be affecting other people.
That's right.
On that meeting, and including your relationship between you and your leader.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And then, I mean, along those lines too is the old saying, right? You've heard me say this a lot because I want people to kind of be self-aware in this respect that you don't know what you don't know, right? And if you see it in somebody else and you're scratching your head, it's because that characteristic, that emotion, that experience isn't in you. You literally have never had it. And so that's why there's a lack of understanding in the other individual. You only can see in others what's in you. And you can quote that, you can put that wherever you want to write it, but you can only see in others what's in you. And that means you've had an experience. It's like, simplify it, changing a flat tire. Unless you've done it, you don't know how to do it. So it gets more even complex than that. So it's ideas, it's communication, it's verbal, nonverbal, all of that. Unless it's in you, you're never going to understand it. So we have to grow. So we have more diversity, right? Common sense comes from adversity. We say the world doesn't have any common sense anymore. It's because we sheltered everybody in certain generations from all of the adverse scenarios. We protected, we shielded, we gave instead of expected. And because of that, its emotional intelligence kind of went down, way down.
Yeah. COVID. Thanks, COVID.
Yeah, COVID's a disaster. You look at the dry cleaners. How much did you drop off of the dry cleaners today? Today, for me, it's one or two garments per week. It used to be 5 and 6 garments per week, right? We're more casual. We're more kicked back. We have more Zoom time than we do in face-to-face stuff. That also drove some cases lack of emotional intelligence because people got very sheltered, very shielded, sitting in their, you know, their office at home or their table at home, and now they're super isolated, and now they don't do well going out. There's all kinds of society challenges, mental challenges.
Do you feel, and I'm just kind of curious to get your input on that, do you feel like Zoom fatigue? We know it's a real thing, right? So sitting on meetings, and you and I are meetings constantly, sometimes all day. The challenge is real. Zoom fatigue is real. Do you think that is a direct correlation with emotional intelligence and how you're working or like an overdrive to try to connect with people because it is a 2D image? It's not in person. And there's kind of a lack, to me, there's a lack of energy with people. And then the body language is only from here up. I don't know. To me, because I'm such a relational leader, right? We talked about this, that I do so much better in person than I do on a Zoom. And I think a lot of people are like that, but I feel like maybe the two are correlated. And I kind of wanted to get your feedback on it.
There's some Zooms I sit in now won't turn their cameras on. Right. Mm. That is the ultimate in isolation, right? You're on a Zoom. You have a video camera in front of you, but you're not turning on your camera. Are you still in your jammies? You're still sitting there on your couch. I don't know. And I'm not judging that. I'm just saying that there's a lack of emotional intelligence. It went down. COVID was kind of a dictating factor here for the most part. But organically, it will happen anyways if we go into this isolation thing. We're shut off. So you want to make sure that you got Teams or you got Zoom or you got something open, but your camera's on, and that you're literally, you get up and show up. And that means get up and show up, whether it's on your couch or wherever, but you got to have some emotional intelligence about that. But you want to be seen and you want to be heard. And it's better to be seen and heard, right? Because we know the verbal is only 6 or 7% of our communication skill. Visibility adds a significant percentage of that. And then being present face to face adds 30-40%. The numbers are staggering difference from just hearing it vocally to seeing somebody communicate to being present with somebody communicating. It's radically different. So if you're on a Zoom meeting and you have no camera, you're literally in the 6 or 7% of comprehension level of what's being stated, received and delivered. So again, emotional intelligence, we're suppressing it instead of enhancing it. We got to grow it. We got to talk. We got to turn the camera on. We got to spend more time with each other.
Did you know that CGP Maintenance and Construction Services, Inc. are also commercial plumbers? They added the plumbing division in 2000 and have been serving the nation's largest brands ever since. They offer everything from cleaning drains, camera work, and grease trap repairs to full repipes and dig-ups. So when your brand needs commercial plumbing, remember, call CGP. They are ready to be on site 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They specialize in restaurants, retail stores, commercial buildings, and hospitality. No matter what your plumbing needs may be, CGP is ready. And because they're a maintenance company, they can make the repairs needed after the plumbing is completed as well. One call will do it all. Call them today, 858 454-7326 or check them out on the web at www.cgpconstruction.com. Give them a call today. Okay, so let's talk about the other half of this, which is social intelligence. They're very similar, right? But social intelligence, how would you define that versus emotional intelligence?
Let's keep it simple because you can get in the textbook descriptions on that.
I know you can.
Social intelligence, I would just say in the most simplistic way, is your ability to read somebody else's ideas, their level of commitment, in the most simplistic way. And this, again, becomes the verbal or nonverbal. So, like for me, you know, I went to body language school 22 years ago, probably. I wanted to be educated in understanding people's body language. You know, we do certain things organically and they're indicators. And it's like me using my hands. I want to be expressive, right? And I'm explaining. I open my hands. That means I'm trying to be invitational. There's all kinds of things that it means. And so being able to understand those things. So I would say that the social intelligence is really being able to, it's still self-aware, and being able to see in others what they're trying to express, verbal or otherwise. So it's social intelligence is interpreting what's being stated, ideas, suggestions, comments, and both verbal and nonverbal in those categories.
All right. Glad we got that out of the way.
I can break out the textbook and read you a much more complex scenario, but I really prefer to just simplify because I like simple things and it's super easy to understand.
I love that. From a CEO perspective in the service industry, how do you feel that SI or social intelligence plays a role in, we'll say, driving or leading a company?
Well, even non-CEO, right? I've been a CEO for 38 years, but I mean, that isn't unique to a CEO. It's a skill and exposure I'm in every single day. So it's a maturity that I've developed over the years. It's being able to see this time and time again, repetitively day in, day out. We employ a lot of people. Just team-wise, it's really important to see what's happening. And I usually ask very specific questions to get a feel for what the conversation is going to go like. Sometimes I'll ask, how you feeling today? Sometimes I'll ask, how's your health? I get very specific. That's given me indicators as to how I have to interpret the next conversation. And I use those for that reason. Because if somebody dives deeper into their health and it's a negative, not a positive, I know what the rest of the conversation may look like, and then I'll guide that conversation. And I'll guide that from the idea perspective or an idea or a suggestion. And then the conversation usually finds its very organic way, and then you have to end it. You have to find a way to end that conversation. So the social intelligence thing is something I have to deal with every day, and it's not just in the CEO role. It's because I'm highly interactive, sales, making sales, and soliciting to get buyers. All of this is really important that we have that understanding.
Yeah. I mean, when you kind of look at these two things, being aware of who you are and then really understanding others at a pretty deep level, the more social intelligence you have, the more you train, the more you work on it, the better you can understand people to some extent. I mean, there's definitely limits to that, I think. But like you're saying with the body language, one of my favorite authors is Joe Navarro. You know Joe, right? Joe's a ex-FBI agent. And he was in, not negotiation, but terrorist interrogation.
Mm.
And I love Joe. And Joe actually has a new certification out, man. So I'm excited. I have been looking. I know you've taken this already, but I've been looking for a certification for body language for someone I trust for a long time.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I'm looking at his stuff.
But the one I got the opportunity to train with was the gal that sat in Bill Clinton's hearing. And she had she had to figure out Bill Clinton on the stand. And I had the opportunity to train with her, and she came in and she speaks monotone because you're gonna pick up on certain key elements just in tonality. Yes. How you speak, what you say, and she wears these cat eye glasses, very monotone in her colors. She doesn't move her hands or arms, and she stays laser focused when she's communicating because she is such an expert. She knows you're going to read and come up with some conclusion, or you'll come up with a conclusion, accurate or inaccurate, but you're going to decide something. And so she's very monotone. And so the end of the day, of course, when we were done at the end of this course, we're like, God bless your husband. How does that guy figure out how to communicate at home? I mean, how tough is that? He's being judged all the time. But so years ago is when I did it, and it was super beneficial for, again, self-awareness first. It raised my elevation of how I communicate. The other day I was involved in a conversation, and to talk about just body language, the eye contact was eye piercing. She would not take her eyes off of my eyes. Well, that is a really uncomfortable scenario for the recipient of that conversation, whether it be me or somebody else, because she literally was just eye piercing and would not take her eyes off of my eyes. And for it to really articulate, so you can be creative, your eyes need to drift a little bit. You have to go left or right. One's truthful, one's not. You have to shift, and there was no shift. And so I couldn't get a good read on her other than her tonality. So I had to read the tonality and what she was actually trying to state. And we had a great conversation in the last hour and a half, by the way, but it was just eye piercing. And that nobody's comfortable in that environment. No one's comfortable in that situation.
I know you have probably met someone like this, but the most interesting experience I had with this whole social intelligence and self-awareness and also emotional intelligence is you ever have people who are like really close face talkers. I mean, they're all up in your grill.
Yeah.
Like they're in your space and you're like, you're really close.
Yeah.
I definitely had a conversation with people where I had to take a step back. It's interesting because they don't realize how the person I was talking to had no idea how that bubble, there's a bubble around people, you know, there's a little space.
Because it isn't offensive to them, right? How did we develop an offense to that? That's the deeper question, right? That's the self-awareness part that we're talking about in emotional intelligence is how did we develop an awareness of that? If you go to Japan, there's no private personal space. Everything is super, super close.
The bubbles are smaller.
Yeah. Very, very small space. And so it's how did we develop that we are so in tune with, okay, you can't be in my space. Why? There's a reason. You have to dig deeper because that awareness is something they were never exposed to.
100%.
So they're going to talk close. And why do we have a fear factor about that? Germs? What is it? I don't get it.
This is uncomfortable.
If somebody wants to talk close to me, I'm okay with that. I understand that they just don't understand.
Oh, man. I can't wait to see you in person next time.
Yeah.
Get the hell away from me.
Here's something else I was going to touch on just for a second. When we hire people or we promote, people have to learn emotional intelligence. And we internally, we're capable of accelerating that growth. And sometimes we'll take somebody that's young, and within a few months to a year, maybe a year and a half, we'll say they're in their 20s, they will behave perception-wise as though they're 35, 40. And sometimes I'll say, oh man, you got an old soul. And people will recognize that, and their family members usually say, wow, you've changed.
Yeah.
Because their emotional intelligence is going up, and so is their social intelligence. It's going up. And we do that very intentionally. We focus on these areas to mature them. We expose them to things. My personal mission is to give and grow people through new experiences and structured education. I spend my whole day, my waking moments, doing that. We grow the emotional intelligence by doing those exposures, those new experiences. It matures people. We've also had the opposite. We've had older folks come in that had the soul of a 15-year-old. And we've had to shift that. We've had to radically change that in a very different way because they've already been around a long time, but they weren't socially aware. They were not emotionally intelligent because they haven't paid much attention. Very self-focused, right? Self-centric versus more ethnocentric. So looking at other people, looking at the better part of the world and understanding and interpreting. And we've accelerated that growth as well. It's crazy how we've been able to do that. But the team is very consistent. If you look at our team, you'll see emotional intelligence is high. You'll also see social skills, social understanding, interpersonal skills even, is significantly higher than what you'll experience with other teams. We do that very intentional.
You know, something I experienced because I was here was going through like events, right? Like UPW and whatnot. Hard to explain to other people, but the way I kind of look at it now is I feel like those type of 4-day like boot camps is almost like where you're really diving super, super deep on your own emotional intelligence, right? Do you think that that's why it's so impactful? Because they really take you down and have you connect deep within who you are to try to look at that? What is it? Like what makes those events so successful that changes people?
It is a deep dive of self-awareness because they're enhancing self-awareness. So they take the strengths in those events like you're talking about. They take those they teach you self-awareness. They take you on a journey to learn what the good is and then enhance that good. Then they teach you to celebrate the good. It's like we talk about how are you winning, right? We ask that usually either before when we open a meeting or how we close a meeting, but we always ask about how are you winning. And it's literally the toot your own horn moment. You have to say, here's how I won this week. Here's what I feel I'm winning at. That's that skill that they're developing. So it's not that they change you from A to B. They don't give you social and emotional intelligence in 4 days. That isn't what it is, but they enhance your self-awareness. As your self-awareness goes higher, now you can open and you can learn more. And then so the intelligence will rise after that event and it'll continue to rise. So self-awareness is really the focus of what they're doing there.
If you are going to give like a strategy for other leaders who are looking to help improve the organization when it comes to the interplay of these two, social intelligence and emotional intelligence, what would be your advice on that? Like how do you improve on these two things for your company?
For me, it's always been about diversity of the team. Even though we march to the same drum, we're driving the same result, at the end of the day, we're all doing the same thing to drive a result for the end user. But we do that all in a very different way. So we all have different walks of life, different priorities, different focuses. It's like mastermind groups. When years ago, I used to coach on when to build a mastermind. And I haven't done this, by the way. I've only participated in them. And I see the ones that are successful. And I've been in one. I'm in them today that are highly, highly successful. There are no two people alike. And people tend to gravitate to who they're like or who they want to be like. Who they're like or who they want to be like. And in doing that, you suppress the opportunity to be exposed to new things by just hiring people that are just like-minded. It's like when you go sit at the bar, you eat a pizza, you go watch a football game. You're going with like-minded people. If you go with a diverse group, your exposure, growth opportunity, social intelligence is about to go up because you're going to pick up on their personalities, their ideas, suggestions, both verbal and nonverbal. It's going to grow you by doing that. So mastermind groups, the Lord's Supper is really what I say it's always been founded on. And whether you're a biblical person or not, just read the book because it'll tell you who was sitting at that table. It was crooks, thieves. I mean, there was everybody there. And the diversity of that conversation was radically different. And people were growing. People were changing. People were changing who they were and the ones sitting next to them for the good, not for the negative. So that's the purpose of a mastermind, 12 people. and all diverse. So for CEOs, they need to make sure that they're always looking for a diverse group. Sure, they may be CEOs, they may be CFOs in the group, and they're like-minded driving results-wise, but they're all very different walks of life. That is what increases social intelligence and emotional intelligence, because you become more self-aware of what you see and what you don't see.
I think that's a great suggestion. And I think a lot of people think that they're hiring for a certain skill set, a hard skill set, and that's super important. I think you would support the idea that your soft skill set or your EI and SI are equally, if not more important than that hard skill set.
It's diversity. It's you can teach how to run Excel. You can teach how to organize things. You can teach some of those skills, you know, craft skills. We can teach how to hang a door, how to fix a widget. Mm-hmm. We teach that. It's the rest of it that is difficult to teach. It takes time. And it takes face-to-face meetings to grow social intelligence, to grow emotional intelligence, self-aware. So you can dig deeper on hanging a door. You can see what their emotional intelligence is and how they're going to install a door because of how they're going to maybe kick their tools when they put them down. They're going to kick them because they're frustrated with what? Their inability to do the job, right? You want to increase the ability, but you want to be aware of why they kick the tool, right? That's a lack of emotional intelligence. We have to spend some time being very focused. That's the nonverbal. We have to be very aware of what's happening. That gives us an opportunity to teach.
I think that it's very interesting. What's running through my mind is there's so many different levels of this proficiency, I guess, or expertise in social intelligence and emotional intelligence between like your field technicians and your office staff and your executive staff. I mean, we're all very good about this. And I would say even our technicians are very good about understanding themselves and understanding other people. But do you feel like there's a definite focus on what we're training and what we're teaching from a technician to, you know, a vice president? Like, how would you approach those differently?
There is a...
Or do you?
I do. So if I'm going to be training a director or an upper-level manager, if I'm spending... One, I spend more time with them because they're on a path of self-awareness and growth, ultimately career path and serving, right? It's literally serving other people. And when I see that as a growth path, I spend a lot of time there. The other ones have a lot of resistance. So I always say, I'm not going to coach kids. I'm not going to be a school teacher. That's not my space. Even though they're super hungry and they're very much aware idea or ideal wise, I just don't spend time there. I'm looking for the one that's already grown into a career path. And that's where I want to spend my time. I want to grow those that's already accelerated. And the reason that is almost self-serving is because they're open. They're hungry. They're like little hungry bears. They just came out of hibernation and they're just wanting to consume everything. So it makes my job as a coach, teacher, trainer significantly easier than trying to get somebody to open. That's why my mission is new experiences. If I give you enough new experiences, it opens the individual. As soon as they open, I can start working there. I can spend time on that. There's a big difference in that. And so I dabble with the smaller levels or the lower levels that are entry, so to speak. And their managers, because I've been spending time with them, they coach their teams in the same tone, same way that we have been coaching the manager. And so there is a trickle-down effect to this, and it's a trickle-up effect equally, because then they become really socially aware. They're comfortable being around other levels of people. They have no problem engaging in conversations. The ones that are fearful of engaging in those higher levels is the ones we need to focus on. And we usually talk to the managers, say, hey, talk to Johnny, talk to Mary, talk to Susie. Need to spend some time here. Clearly, they see that person differently. We need to see them as equals. Equal because we all have, you know, we walk this earth together. We have to see them as equals. So we need to spend time there. We need to grow them. And that's emotional maturity. when you have that, you become super comfortable around whoever you're talking with.
I want to ask you, for people who are listening, for I think everyone can wrap their head around what we're talking about, no problem. But if with one of the things I'm wanting to see if you could give us is an example of a manager you've worked with in the past that had some challenges with self-awareness and kind of how that played out and how you dealt with it. If you got one.
Yeah. So we've had managers that won't take phone calls.
Oh.
And when they won't take a phone call or they won't take the repetition of phone calls, there's a lack of a self-awareness in how to process what's coming. And they need to be able to be decisive for one. Most generally, that's what is an indicator they're indecisive. And so this indecision is actually a decision of saying, I'm not going to take this call. But the indicator is that they don't understand how to process the data that's about to come at them. So they won't take the call. And that's from a tech, a client, from a salesperson, anybody. And they literally will delete or postpone, you know, whatever they do on their phones to not take that phone call. And it's because there's a fear factor based on the unknown, because they don't know what they don't know. And they don't want to learn it on that phone call. So when I see that or hear about that and text, I'll say, dude, I can't get a hold of them. And I'm like, whoa, that's the manager that you can't reach. How is that even possible? So then I usually dive deeper and find out what's happening there. And in those cases, if I've not been able to lead them through that, we just separate. Show them some grace to the door, and I just say, we're just not a good fit for you. We're not able to turn that corner. So that would be really a self-aware thing. If you're not taking the phone call, there's something you are scared of. You need to use that fear factor and dance with it and actually take the call and find out what you don't know, because that's going to grow you.
Not to mention that you're not thinking about the impact on the other people.
It's all self-centered. It's definitely not service.
Right.
Yeah, it's all self-centric. I get it. Sometimes I can't take a call. And it is because of a self-centric thing. I'm in the middle of a doctor's appointment. I'm in the middle of something else. I'm talking with my wife. That is self-centric.
Yeah.
Right.
But you have to have boundaries too sometimes.
There are boundaries. You got to exercise that. But you also have to be self-aware, emotionally mature to be able to exercise that, not in fear, but in because of logic. And the logic is I have to spend time with a doctor right now. I can't take this phone call. So I silent or whatever. But the other times is take the call, take the phone call, because somebody on the other end needed to learn or hear or answer or have a yes, a no, something.
Got it, man. Awesome. Great content today, man. I'm really excited. There's so much more we could dive deep into this thing. I encourage everyone who's on this path of self-discovery to really dig deep. There's some great literature. There's some great books. There's some great seminars. Do that. You know, have some new experiences. Jim, we talked about so much today about new experiences and growing yourself and being self-aware and how that's so important to be able to lead your team. We talked earlier about an off camera. We talked about the law of the lid. We talked about being able to lead people. You can only lead people to your level. So you really, if you expect that, you have to continue to grow. And doing that is being self-aware and understanding that you need that growth.
Yeah. Diversity in your education, it has to be continuous, a perpetual student of just all things. And for me, I'm in multiple groups, classes, courses, and exposure to different things. And it's literally because people call on me to know things. And so I got to go learn. I do have an unfair advantage. I'm a 99% theoretic. So I got to learn stuff just to learn stuff. This morning early, 4 o'clock this morning, I'm reading law about gradient conditions based on million-year flood propositions. And I was looking at a document that was actually signed by Theodore Roosevelt related to this topic. And I'm like, man, I drive myself nuts with how much I have to learn in different things. And today literally was grades, floodplains, et cetera. And literally was researching Theodore Roosevelt's documents in flood areas, million, and they call it the, you know, the 100-year flood type thing. And so it was just crazy content, and that started my day. And then from there, of course, I changed topics. And I told you earlier, I was listening to Bon Jovi today, and there's two or three tunes that I just blare because I needed to be in a different state. And I started writing content about kind of six topics of focus, you know, your personal skills and et cetera. But I started journaling that after I figured out Theodore Roosevelt's claim of the million-year flood, what land would be protected based on grade. And so a lot of cool stuff today, but I really want to learn just to learn.
I tell you, it's hard to keep up.
That's not normal.
Yeah, no, it's not. Not normal. I don't think you fall into that category of normal. It is hard. Yeah, I tell you one thing. If you guys ever want to know about straws, Jim Robinson is your man.
I do. I got all that. I've researched just about everything. I know about car engines. I know about
incredible. You're like a freaking walking thesaurus.
It's just insane, the stuff that I've researched. It's silly, but I do know a lot of stuff about random, just weird crap.
You do, man. Every time I think I got you, nope.
I already read it.
I
read so much. It's nonstop for me.
Oh, my gosh. Awesome, man. Well, we're going to wrap this up. For everyone who is listening on your favorite podcast platform, if you like the value that we're providing, man, give us a like, subscribe. Leave us a comment. We'd love to hear those comments on the shows. And then if you are lucky enough to be watching us on YouTube, you're welcome for this, for all this and this. But hit subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. And we loved providing this kind of leadership and value and topics in the service industry. And we'd love to hear more from you guys too. So leave us a comment. All right. Yeah. Thank you, Jim Robinson. Well, I guess we'll see you guys next time.
Another fun show.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See ya.